Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Bancolombia's first quarter 2018 earnings conference call. My name is Sylvia, and I'll be your coordinator for today. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Following the prepared remarks, there will be a question-and-answer session. If you would like to participate in this portion of the call, please press star followed by one at any time during the conference. If assistance is needed any time during the call, please press star followed by zero, and a coordinator will be happy to assist you. Please note that this conference call will include forward-looking statements, including statements related to our future performance, capital position, credit-related expenses, and credit losses. All forward-looking statements, whether made in this conference call, in future filings, in press releases, or verbally, address matters that involve risk and uncertainty. Consequently, there are factors that could cause actual results to differ materially from those indicated in such statements, including changes in general economic and business conditions, changes in currency exchange rates and interest rates, introduction of competing products by other companies, lack of acceptance of new products or services by our targeted clients, changes in business strategy, and various other factors that we describe in our reports filed with the SEC. With us today is Mr. Juan Carlos Mora, Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Jaime Velasquez, Chief Strategy and Financial Officer, Mr. José Humberto Costa, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Rodrigo Prieto, Chief Risk Officer, Jorge Humberto Hernández, Chief Accounting Officer, Mr. Alejandro Mejia, Investor Relations Manager, and Mr. Juan Pablo Espinoza, Chief Economist. I would now like to turn the presentation over to Mr. Mora, Chief Executive Officer of Bancolombia. Please proceed, sir.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to our first quarter conference call. I wish to begin this call giving you an update of some relevant aspects that materialize our strategy. First, in line with the credit cycle that we are going through, we have done some adjustments and improvements to the collection process. The goal is to avoid loans reaching the state of delinquency and maximize the recovery of past due loans. Also, we continue improving our underwriting standards to assure that we grow the loan portfolio without further deterioration. So far, the vintages show us that we are going on the right direction. In the digital payments front, we have grown the number of transactions more than 13 times and reached $100 million in contactless purchases over the last 12 months. Ahorro a la Mano, our cornerstone channel for offering a simple transaction platform, continues growing exponentially. We already have 900,000 active accounts, which performed more than 12 million transactions last year. This is a very efficient tool to allow us to extend the capacity to perform transactions to people who do not have a formal relation with the financial sector. Also, digital sales continue growing. Two of the most relevant products are savings accounts and credit cards. At this point, I would like to share with you some trends of this beginning of the year. First, let's remember that the next 27th of May, the first round of presidential elections will take place in Colombia. The results will set the mood of private sector investment programs going forward. On the economic front, I would like to highlight that inflation is converging towards the 3% target set by the central bank. During the first months of the year, we have seen some improvements in consumer and private sector confidence. Unemployment rate has been stable, and consumption has left behind the negative impact of increase of the VAT. The central bank has adopted a more expansive policy. Last April, the repo rate reached 4.25%. This should create conditions for a GDP acceleration in  2018 towards  2.5%. Credit demand has evolved according to our forecasts. In Colombia, we observe a trend in new originations that led us to reaffirm that we will reach a consolidated growth of around 8%. In Central America, the growth has been in line with our expectations in both corporate and retail banking. The appreciation of the peso during the first quarter caused growth in pesos to be negative during the quarter. Year over year, the loan portfolio grows 4.1%, despite a 3.6% appreciation of the peso over that period. Credit quality will continue being one of the most relevant topics for 2018, and we have concentrated our efforts on three aspects. As I mentioned, origination, increasing coverage for certain corporate clients, and the collection process. We believe that we are near the peak of deterioration and charged 875 billion in provisions during the quarter, which represents a 2.2% cost of risk. We expect to have a charge of around 3.4 trillion in provisions during the year. As you may recall, starting January 1st, 2018, we must adjust our provisioning models under IFRS 9, which means to use expected loss provisions instead of the current incurred loss approach. As a consequence of this adjustment, we increase allowances by 600 billion pesos, or around 8%. We also stopped recognizing interest on delinquent loans with very low probability of recovery, those classified as bucket 3 loans. Later, during this call, José Humberto will provide a more detailed explanation on this IFRS 9 implementation. Finally, I wish to emphasize the efforts that we are putting on cost control, a strategy that put us in a cost-to-income of 49% last year, and we believe to be between 48 and 49% this year. The optimization of the distribution channels, headcount reduction, and automation are the elements that will permit us to achieve that goal. With these elements in mind, I want to ask Juan Pablo Espinosa, our chief economist, to give you an overview of the main macroeconomic topics to consider. Juan Pablo?
Thank you, Juan Carlos. Now, I will ask you to go to slide number 3 in the presentation. Recent indicators reveal a gradual pickup in activity and a more balanced macro framework for Colombia this year. During the first quarter of 2018, GDP grew 2.2%. This result was in line with our estimates and is 0.7% higher than 1Q17's reading. In this period, 9 out of 12 sectors had a positive variation. The most dynamic were financial activities, public administration, and retail. In contrast, there were contractions of 8.2% in construction, 3.6% in mining, and 1.2% in manufacturing. We believe that the more sanguine performance of the economy this year is the result of a rebound in private spending, which is due to a positive variation in real disposable income, as well as low and stable interest rates. In addition, more constructive macroeconomic and financial conditions should lead to a recovery of private investment. At the same time, the country is enjoying from global tailwinds such as increasing terms of trade and a higher growth of its trading partners. As a result, we confirm our 2.5% growth forecast for this year. We expect that after elections, the recovery will take full force. Thus, by the end of this year, growth will have accelerated to 3%. In terms of prices, it is worth noting that headline inflation has moderated sharply from 4.1% last December to 3.1% last month. This correction has been widespread as both food and core inflation have been trending downwards. Going forward, we expect that in coming months annual inflation will even fall below 3%. However, an acceleration of food prices will lead to a moderate increase of inflation in the second half of the year, so it will close at around 3.3% this year. Regarding monetary policy, we anticipate that after the 25 basis points cuts in January and April, the reference rate will remain at 4.25% for the remainder of the year. Only until 1Q19, economic conditions will lead the central bank to start a mild tightening cycle. On the external front, we expect the current account deficit to remain at 3.3% of GDP. This figure implies that the external imbalance is now similar to the level seen before the fall in oil prices. Finally, we reinforce our view that this year the central government will meet the deficit target of 3.1% and that the additional effort required to comply with 2019's new target of 2.4% is now less pronounced. After this overview of the economic environment, let me turn the presentation to Jose Humberto Acosta, who will discuss the bank's results.
Thank you, Juan Pablo. Before starting with the discussion of the results, I would like to call your attention to the fact that this quarter, Bancolombia started reporting numbers under IFRS 9. On slide 4, we summarize these impacts. In the balance sheet, there is a reallocation of 599 billion Colombian pesos from the line of accumulated other comprehensive income in the equity to the line of allowances for loan in the asset side. This is a one-off impact effectively on January the 1st of this year. On the income statement, there is a reduction in net interest income by 102 billion Colombian pesos due to the non-recognition of interest attributable to loans in Bucket 3, which have a very low probability of recovery. Similarly, there is a reduction also by 102 billion Colombian pesos in the provision charges. The net impact in the net income is zero. Because of these impacts, some metrics and ratios are affected as well. Reported NIM will be lower as a result of loans in Bucket 3, which will not accrue interest. The efficiency level will be affected due to the reduction of net interest income. Fee income as a percentage of revenues will increase because of lower NII revenues. It is important to highlight the fact that during 2018, we continue modeling and fine-tuning these impacts during the year. We might have changed to the metrics I just mentioned. Now moving on, I would like to give you a brief overview of the status of our operations across the region. Please go to slide number 5, where we can see the snapshot of our 4 main businesses. I would like to highlight in our operation in Panama, Banismo, a significant improvement of efficiency due to cost controls programs and introduction of a new products and services. Also, Banismo has today the capacity to sell product through digital channels. In Banco Agricola operation, the coverage ratio has increased to 226% and the NIM has also expanded as a result of better allocation of assets and more efficient strategy in the funding side. Fees have also performed very well for this operation and have grown 13% year over year. In BAM, in Guatemala, the increase in the coverage ratio and NIM expansion are the two most important metrics. Nonetheless, efforts in digital banking are also paying off and having a very relevant role. Today, insurance distribution through the online platform is the fastest growing product. And finally, in Bancolombia, Colombia, the efficiency continues improving due to the diversification of channels and cost control. In general terms, the international operations are providing an upside to the consolidated numbers. Now I would like to move to slide 6 of the presentation, where we can see the evolution of assets and their composition. The composition of the loan portfolio by type of client remained relatively stable during the first quarter. Nevertheless, the 7% appreciation of the peso against the dollar caused the peso-denominated portfolio to represent a greater proportion than what represented in December. Today, pesos accounts for 68% of the total loans. This appreciation caused by the growth of loans in the original currencies to look smaller when converted to pesos. The year-on-year growth as of March is 4%. Regarding credit demand, we have seen corporations acting in a cautious way when undertaking new projects and demanding credit. This is the natural outcome of the uncertainty associated to the election process, and this trend we had forecasted in our budgets. In March, we saw some signals of recovery after a slow start of the year. We anticipate that this sluggish demand and growth will continue until mid-year, when we finally know the outcome of the elections. We continue seeing a greater growth in consumer loans, although at a slower pace. Today, we confirm our estimation of loan growth for 2018 will be at around 8%. Moving on to slide 7, we present the situation of the credit quality as of March. In line with our expectations for every first quarter, 30-day past due loans presented an increase due to the higher formation of new past due loans. This is a seasonal effect that we experience every March, and this year, in particular, the slow economic growth and the presidential elections accentuated the trend. 90-day past due loans also posted a slight increase due to runoff of already deteriorated vintages. Nevertheless, the coverage ratio for these loans reached a level of 174%, and we intend to keep it at around that level. As we mentioned earlier, the adoption of IFRS 9 increased the coverage levels because we reclassified 599 billion pesos from equity to allowances. This is the main reason for the change in coverage in the first quarter of this year. Connecting with this, in slide number 8, we present the provision charges for the quarter, which totaled 875 billion Colombian pesos. In general, provision charges maintain a high level as we continue protecting the balance sheet from the new past due loans. These charges are mainly explained by commercial loans, mainly large corporates, which represent 40% of the new past due loans, SMEs that are increasing the number of days in arrears, which represent 23% of the new past due loans. A very important metric in this slide is the new past due loans of the quarter, which reflects the seasonal effect for the first months of the year. Again, we had an impact of IFRS 9, loans classified in bucket 3 with a very low probability of recovery do not require provisions. They do not accrue interest either. The new IFRS 9 methodology requires Bancolombia to estimate provisions based on expected losses, which tend to be more conservative, reaching a cost of credit of at around 2% at the end of the year. Moving on to slide number 9, we see the evolution of net interest income and the funding cost. NII declined 4% compared with the first quarter of last year, impacted by the repricing of the loan portfolio due to lower interest rates of the central bank, to some extent by the appreciation of the Colombian peso against the dollar in the same period. Additionally, the IFRS 9 adoption impacted NII by 102 billion Colombian pesos due to the non-accrual of loans classified in bucket 3. Our main strategy to defend NIMS and NII is to reduce the funding cost as fast as possible. We have concentrated the efforts on reduce the cost on long-term debt by rolling over the bonds and expiration of approximately 300 billion Colombian pesos denominated bonds during the quarter. Promote savings accounts, which grew 11.5% versus growth of 2.4% in time deposits, reducing almost 8% the stock of funding with international banks. And finally, the reduction of the duration and cost of the certificates of deposits in Colombia. The combination of these factors has permitted to maintain the loan-to-deposit ratio at a level of 115%. For the rest of the year, probably we'll see another reduction of interest rates in case inflation continues declining. The repricing of the loan portfolio will continue, and the reduction in the funding cost will be marginal. In the next slide, number 10, we present the net interest margin. We estimate the impact of IFRS 9 was the reason for the 10 basis point compression in lending NIM during the quarter. So, isolating this effect of this, lending NIM will have been stable during the quarter. So far, we have contained the impact of the interest rate cuts in Colombia on the lending activities of the bank. This has been combined effect of the change in mix towards consumer loans and the reduction of the funding cost. In the securities front, we experienced more volatility during the quarter, and as a result, NIM came down to 0.5%. We expect the reference rate in Colombia to come down 25 basis points and an improvement in dollar margins due to the higher U.S. rates. As a result of interest rate reduction in Colombia and the impact of IFRS 9 adoption, we estimate the NIM for 2018 to end at around 5.6%. And that is explained basically for 20 bps due to the interest rate cuts and 20 bps due to the IFRS 9. On slide 11, we can see the evolution of fees. Fees continue presenting a good evolution, despite the seasonal effect of the first quarter. Comparing them with the first quarter of last year, the 9% growth indicates the good trend. In particular, credit card fee posted a solid performance due to the promotion of plastic as a method of payment and the marketing campaigns for the first months of the year. The World Cup and the fact that the Bancolombia is a sponsor of Colombia's national teams contributed to these strategies. In Central America, we are also posting positive results, in particular Banco Agricola in El Salvador, with fees growing at a pace of 13% year on year. Bank assurance and asset management are also relevant components of this strategy. Our forecast for fee growth in 2018 is to be around 10 to 12%. Now, moving to slide 12, we present the evolution of expenses. We must keep in mind that the expenses for the fourth quarter last year were unusually low due to the certain adjustments for the full year 2017. Here, it is important to focus on the year-on-year growth in expenses, which declined 2% as compared to the first quarter of last year. For 2018, we expect to grow operating expenses between 4 and 5% and the cost-to-income ratio to be at around 49%. Let's remember that this new guidance is the result of lower net interest income due to non-performing loans classified as a bucket 3. In slide 13, we present the evolution of the main channels. We continue increasing the share of online and mobile transactions as a way to gain efficiencies in distribution. As you can see at the bottom right pie, the interaction with clients has diversified to several channels. Today, through the app and the online, clients can open savings accounts without needing to go to the branch. We are launching a specially designed online platform for SMEs. This platform will allow us to reach more than 1.3 million clients who will benefit from several developments implemented by Bancolombia. Through banking agents, we process more than 500,000 transactions on a daily basis. We will enhance the offer of digital services to our clients, maintaining a strict cost control, continue rebalancing the existing network, and focusing in optimization. For international operations, for example, we reduced the number of branches in Guatemala and we are using more the digital channels. In Banismo, we launched the mobile platform, which today processes more than 200,000 transactions on a daily basis. And in Banco Agricola, the network of agents reached 670 of them. Now, let's move to slide 14, where we present the evolution of the capital position of the bank, which ended at a level of 10.2%. As soon as we have more clarity on the Basel III implementation, we'll be providing you with estimations of the additional capital of buffers, and the treatment of risk-weighted assets that the regulator is contemplated for this year. Finally, we present the return on equity for the period, which was 9.2% for the first quarter. For the last 12 months, it was 11.4%. Our forecast is to gradually improve return on equity towards the 16% target that we have focused for 2020. In particular, we estimate that in 2018 we should be in the range of 12 to 13%. In summary, the economic cycle in Colombia suggests low interest rates, inflation under control, stable unemployment levels, and the second half of the year will be a faster economy activity. This combination of factors will impact our business with the growth of the loan portfolio according to our expectations. The bank will be focused in maintaining the cost of funding under control in a low rate environment. We maintain our estimation shared during this call, NIM compression towards 5.6%, cost of risk at around 2%, and return on equity between 12 and 13%. The main efforts will be concentrated, as Juan Carlos mentioned at the beginning of the presentation, in risk management, basically in origination and enhancing the collection process in order to reduce the stock of past due loans. After presenting these slides and discussion of our first quarter results, I would like to invite your audience to ask any questions.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. We ask that you please limit yourself to one question only. If you have a question, please press star then one on your touch-tone phone. If you wish to be removed from the queue, please press the pound sign or the hash key. If you're using a speakerphone, you may need to pick up the handset first before pressing the numbers. Once again, if you have a question, please press star, then one on your touch-tone phone. And our first question comes from Ernesto Gabilondo from Bank of America Merrill Lynch.
Hi, good morning, and thanks for taking my call. A couple of questions from my side. The first one is on the elections. Can you share with us any insight on the candidates leading the polls? And if you see, it could be a possibility to have only one round. Also, if you can share any relevant proposals among the candidates, that will. My second question is on your NII. As you mentioned, it was affected by the IFRS implementation. So should we continue to see NII affected by 100 Colombian billion pesos per quarter through the rest of the year? Thank you.
Thank you, Ernesto. Let me answer first your second question regarding NII. Yes, correct. You have to take in consideration that every quarter you see a decrease of 102 Colombian billion pesos on NII. The other side of the story is that we are doing our efforts to reduce at the same pace the cost of funding, focusing our efforts on savings accounts and trying to reduce more from the lending business activities from international banks. But yes, you'll see in a very often 102 every quarter.
And Ernesto, regarding your question about elections, this has been a very competitive process. Polls at this time shows one leading candidate and others follow by a margin of around 10 points, the percentage points. So with the results of the polls that we have seen in the last years, it is high probability that it's going to be a second round that will take place in June.
Our next question comes from Jason Mullen from Scotiabank.
Hi, thank you. My question is about the profitability outlook, the return on equity outlook in the 12 to 13% range. for this year. Maybe you can comment more in the long term. But with this quarter, obviously there were seasonal weaknesses. I guess if we isolate the impact of IFRS 9, looking at both the net interest income and the provisions, as you suggested, there was no impact on net income. Your book value, however, was negatively impacted from the one-time adjustment. So that actually would help the ROE expectation going forward. So it seems like by maintaining the ROE expectation and having a lower book value with no impact on net income from IFRS 9, that actually the ROE should look better if we just make the denominator adjustment. But I also wanted to understand better what you just said about net interest income, because yes, it was negatively impacted, you suggested, by 100 billion pesos, and that will continue going forward because you won't be accruing interest for the bucket three. But should we expect provisions going forward also? I mean, is this like a recurring event that provisions should also be 100 million lower, or was that just a one-time income statement impact that we saw now? So main question is ROE outlook, 12 to 13% and longer term. And, you did have this, I guess it was 500 billion peso impact on book value.
Thank you, Jason. Yes, let me put it on nominal terms. Originally, our plan were to set 3.4 billion pesos total in provisions. As you said, having in consideration IFRS 9, the bucket 3, we will reduce 400 billion pesos at that number. So in regular terms, the final provision, that will be 3 billion Colombian pesos at the end of the year. That is correct, and your appreciation is right. But what happened is the marginal provisions for the next coming quarters are toughest because the requirements of provisions on their expected losses is higher. So we have to increase another 400 billion, billion in provisions on the provision side. So if you do the math, yes, you have to deduct the 400 because of IFRS 9, but you have to add up again the 400 because the standard for the next coming quarters will be increasing that number. So that's the reason why, at the end of the day, the cost of credit is the same, 4%, because it's a function of the assets of the loan portfolio, but the NII will drop. So as you said, the net income, assuming the next coming quarters, that will be reduced because of that. I don't know if this is clear, Jason, and in this opportunity, I have to permit them to do another question or to see if it is clear for you.
Next question comes from George Curry from Morgan Stanley.
Hi, good morning. Jorge Curry from Morgan Stanley. Can you give us an update on the efficiency program? You delivered very strong year-on-year decline in expenses in nominal and obviously in real terms. Where are we in that process? How much more can we see expenses improve over the next 12 months? Are we mostly done? Are we half the way? Just wanted to get a little bit more clarity on this year and maybe on a multi-year basis. How much more can efficiency improve? Thank you.
Thank you, Jorge. Let's allow us 1 minute to answer Jason one topic of the question that he had before we answer your question.
Okay, Jason, just to clarify, we were talking about what happened this year, how we are going to get the 16% that we are planning for the next 3 years. Assume that the real cost of credit of the bank based on the better economic cycle will be 1.8. So if you do the math and you adjust the cost of credit for 2019 and 2020 at around 1.8, that would be the best way to reach the 16% of return on equity. Thank you.
And Jorge, now going to your question, we keep in our program of efficiency, and the program is based in reducing the cost associated with our distribution channels. So now we have a program of branch reduction in Guatemala. We are consolidating some of the physical branches that we have in Colombia. So we will keep moving on that direction. Also, we will keep the program of efficiency around having the optimal headcount to run our operation. To answer your question directly, we expect this year the expenses to grow around between 4 and 5%, which in real terms is around 1% growth. So we will be benefit for the actions that we took last year, but also we will have to do some investments on the programs that we are running this year, looking to have the benefits towards or in the years 19 and 20, in which we are looking for an efficiency ratio of 47%. So this year we will expect an improvement on the efficiency ratio, and we are targeting a 48%. And then the programs will consolidate their effects, and that will lead us to the 46% that we are looking in the midterm.
Complementing the Juan Carlos answer, I have to say, just to give you an example, the corresponding agents, we reached the level of almost 10,000. So that's the best way to reduce our cost of operation. And we are replicated the same experience in Panama and in El Salvador, so that will help us a lot. The other good example is how to maintain the headcount under control. We are implementing in the last 2 years more than 200 robots that is helping to work 7/24, and it's helping to be more efficient, try to operate in a faster way, in a more efficient way.
Our following question comes from Philip Finch from UBS.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for the presentation. A couple of questions from me. First of all, just in terms of Q1 numbers, I mean, our first take was that it was lower than what we're looking for. Given what you just presented, can we say Q1 was the worst quarter and it gets better from here, whether it's in loan growth or in terms of provisions, as you're alluding to? And the second question is a little bit more specific, and that's the tax rate. Still a bit of volatility in the quarter. What should we consider as a more sort of normalized level for tax rate for the course of this year? Thank you.
Okay, Philip. I have to say that usually the first quarter of every year maintains some weak trend in loan growth. This year will be exactly the same. Our expectations is to have a very solid third and fourth quarter in order to reach the 8% loan growth that we are expecting. So yes, as you mentioned, probably these numbers will be the lowest level of numbers if you compare with the next quarters for this year. Regarding the tax rate, we are for the year, the whole year, we maintain the guidance that the tax rate will be between 33 and 34% in total. Remember that the statutory tax in Colombia is 37, but the taxes in Salvador, Guatemala, and Panama is 25%, and the other offshore operation, which is relevant, it has 0% of tax. So if you combine those tax effects, the result is 33 to 34 at the end of the year.
Our following question comes from Carlos Macedo from Goldman Sachs.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. My question is on your medium-term guide of 16% target for ROE in 2020. You talked about, you know, responding to Jason's question, the cost of risk improving another 20 basis points from your target this year of 2% to 1.8. Is there risk that maybe your margins also reflect a slightly lower number? I mean, that's really the question. You're targeting 5.6% this year, another 20 basis points down from where you are now. Is that the steady state margin? Is that what we should expect going forward? Is there a risk that could be lower if rates don't go up, or if rates come down, or if mix changes? You know, how should we think about the evolution of margin within the context of the evolution of the cost of risk? Thanks.
Thank you, Carlos. There are many forces that helps the return on equity. And yes, the cost of credit will be one. The second one will be efficiency level. We are foreseeing the future, the efficiency level reaching the level of 46% in 2020. And the third, it is the NIM, as you are asking right now. Right now we have a compression. Maybe in 2019 that will be more stable NIM. But at the end, in the long-term view, because of the competitiveness, because of many banks trying to reach and to gain market share, we expect a compression of the NIM in the long-term view. That will be in the range of 5.2 to 5.5 in the next coming 3 years. Again, because of the competitive landscape, and because obviously the upside is we are moving through consumer loans, that it's helping to support the NIM. So that's the reason why, since 2015, we changed and we are trying to change our mix in between corporate and consumer loans. So consumer will be one of the main drivers to sustain the NIM.
Our following question comes from George Friedman from Citibank.
Yes, thank you very much for taking my questions. Actually, I'd like to touch on two points. First, you know, coming back to the short-term ROE guidance of 12 to 13%, of course, we also understand that, you know, the equity base, as Jason mentioned in his question, has been coming down because of the IFRS. Just wondering if you believe that additional impact on the equity basis due to the IFRS 9 could take place during the year, or if the 600 billion impact was a one-off. And I'm asking that question because if it doesn't, you know, have another impact, I see, I know, for you to be able to get into the 12 to 13% target of ROE in 2018, you'd have to see a significant acceleration of earnings throughout the year. So just wondering how comfortable you are with that, or if we should expect additional hits on the equity. This was the first question. And my second question is actually with regards to your credit card franchise. I noted in the release that you highlighted Amex losing ground in the period, both in terms of credit card billings and also in terms of credit card issuance. So what is going on Amex? Are you incentivizing the issuance and usage of other labels, or is this just natural competition? Thank you.
Okay, York, yes, regarding the provisioning that is affecting the equity, it is a one-off. And same happens with we implemented IFRS 5 years ago. It is happening exactly the same. This is a one-off situation, and it's not affecting more the equity level that we are having right now. Regarding how we are going to get the 12 to 13%, yes. One of the main drivers will be a loan growth, and that will take place, we hope, in the third and the fourth quarter, that help us to increase the NII in order to reach that level of 12 to 13%. But again, the 600 billion Colombian pesos that is affecting equity, it is a one-off situation.
And regarding your question about credit cards is a very important business for us. We keep growing and pushing the business. We are not leaders in number of plastics, but in any other metric, we are leaders in the usage of the cards. We sell the three main brands of credit cards, Visa, MasterCard, and Amex. In the past, we had an exclusivity agreement with Amex, and that agreement ended last year. So now we are pushing the three brands, or the three main brands, in equal terms. So that's why you are seeing a lower growth on Amex. But the credit card business is a very healthy, very dynamic business for us. It's providing very good revenues, fees, and we keep pushing the business at this moment.
Just a reminder, we ask that you please limit yourself to one question only. Our following question comes from Rodrigo Sanchez from Otra Servinco.
Morning, guys. Thanks for the presentation. I just have a question. Could you please provide details and comments about the exposure you have on the Colombian transportation system, including total exposure and coverage you have for the first quarter, and what provisions level are you expecting to reach by the end of the year? And also, if you could please repeat the guidance on efficiency for 2018. Thanks.
Yes, Rodrigo. The guidance for efficiency is to reach a level of 49%. That, remember that we are impacted this year because of NII drop of $400 billion because of IFRS 9. Regarding your first question, in transportation system, we have an exposure in several companies of transportation, and we have a wide range of provisions in between 20 to 40%. And the reason why we are expecting the cost of credit of 2%, it's assuming that probably in the next coming quarters, we have to increase those provisions, basically in some of the companies. But again, today we have a very orthodox approach in terms of those provisions. They are 20 to 40% range of coverage.
Our next question comes from Carlos Gomez from HSBC.
Yes, hi, good morning. First, in terms of transportation, I don't think you gave the exposure that you have, so it would be good to have. Second, a technical thing, the $599 billion charge to equity, that's presumably after tax. And if you could tell us which tax rate you use, was it the corporate tax rate of 37%? Finally, and this is not a separate question, Basel III implementation, you said that you are waiting to hear definitions. What exactly are you waiting to hear, and will you be affected by the new regulations on capital for conglomerates, financial conglomerates? Thank you.
Okay, there are three questions. I'm going to ask the second one very quickly. The definition, why we are saying that the range of the 600, because we are adjusting the models still. We have right now we are having conversation with the auditors trying to receive from them the checked in terms of those provisions. We believe that the $600 billion that we are adjusting on the provisions and on the equity, it's a 90% approach. We don't believe that will be a huge impact. Regarding your first question, in transportation system, in specifically in the company that you mentioned, our exposure, it's around $200 million exposure, or even a little bit more, 220. And the provisions that we are having there, it is around 30% of that. Conglomerates?
Regarding the conglomerates regulation, the law was passed through Congress last year, and now it's in the implementation process. The process is going forward well. We are having conversations and some comments on the proposed regulations coming from the government, and we don't see any material impacts coming forward for Bancolombia related to that regulation.
Our following question comes from Daniel Duarte from Corfe Colombiana.
Hello, it's Andres Duarte. Thank you. Does the significant decrease in the growth of the consumer loan portfolio with respect to 4Q implies the bank has reached its acceptable PDL level for the category, or is this explained solely by seasonal effects? Thank you.
Thank you, Andres. Is the last part that you mentioned, it's just seasonal effects. The consumer loan portfolio is growing 11% year on year. So it's healthy growth. Is the portfolio that is growing faster for us. So it's just seasonal effects.
And remember that out of almost 30% of that consumer loans are represented in US dollar. And because of the appreciation, it is reducing to the level of 11%.
Our following question comes from Sebastian Gallego from Credit Corp Capital.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for the presentation. Just a quick question on Electricaribe. Could you comment on the total coverage that you reach in first quarter 18? Thank you.
Thank you, Sebastian. We reached a coverage of 63% on Electricaribe during the quarter.
Our following question is from Alonso Aramburu from BTG Pactual.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for the call. A follow-up on Electricaribe. Can you tell us how much of the provisions this quarter were related to Electricaribe or Ruta del Sol or these specific credits? And second, when you look at your ROE guidance for this year, can you just let us know how you look at this by country? First quarter, you had single-digit ROE in every country except El Salvador. Do you expect a recovery in also in Panama and in Guatemala, or the recovery should be mostly in Colombia? Thank you.
The key driver of the recovery of the return on equity, as you mentioned perfectly, will be Colombia. And that will be focused on basically because of efficiency and the loan growth. And the second one, recovery on return on equity, will be Banismo, because in Banismo, the loan growth it's showing a strong path. So we believe that we will be able to sustain the return on equity on two digits in Banismo. In the case of Banco Agricola, that will be a slight recovery of the return on equity, and there will be basically driver, or the main driver will be the efficiency. But again, Colombia will be the main driver, and the second one will be Banismo.
Regarding the provisions and how much we that were represented the total provisions we did during the quarter, these big corporates, especially Electricaribe, were around 150 billion pesos on provisions. That's what they mean on the total of provision we did during the quarter.
We have no further questions at this time. I would now like to turn the call over to Mr. Mora, Chief Executive Officer, Bancolombia, for final remarks.
Thank you, everybody, for your interest in this conference call. We definitely think that Colombia, especially, will improve their economic performance through the year, and that the second semester is going to be better for the economy, and that will allow us to take advantage of that better economic environment. So we will expect the Colombia results to improve gradually during the year. Again, thank you for your interest, and see you in our next conference call for the second quarter 2019. Thank you very much.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This concludes today's conference. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.